You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're going to have part three of our four-part interview with Gary Glenn. And Gary Glenn is the president of American Family Association of Michigan, and he's a stellar pro-family activist. Our interview last week was just, I think, one of the best we've ever done. Very informative. Gary, welcome back to the show. Hey, Gary, before I get going on the interview, I want to talk about something that Americans for Truth did. We're pre-taping this on February 9th. It airs a few days later. And AFTA went undercover to a homosexual extravaganza known as Creating Change. It's a huge confab. You had over 2,000 homosexual activists in Minneapolis. And so we had a few people to go in there undercover because they won't let anybody from a pro-family group observe. If they know you're not with them, then they oppress you and they kick you out. And also, they don't tape anymore. They used to tape their segments, but they don't anymore. I think that's because we started exposing what their agenda was. But all I can say is we're going to talk about this in a future episode, future program. But Gary, it was so incredibly radical. Just stuff that if the media ever were to start exposing it, which of course they don't, the homosexual movement would be in deep, deep trouble. We're talking about advocating taxpayer-funded sex change operations, gender-neutral bathrooms. In fact, they had gender-neutral bathrooms on the floor where most of the workshops were at. They couldn't stand to have just the male-female restrooms that you normally see at a convention. And just incredible deviance, Gary. They even celebrate sadomasochism every year at this thing. They give out the so-called Leather Leadership Award. Just unbelievable workshops. They had some incredibly deviant, for example, in the name of HIV prevention, this total non-judgmental version of safe sex in which you don't condemn any. Well, you certainly don't condemn sodomy, Gary. That would be beyond the pale, right? In the name of preventing HIV. But anyways, we'll be going into that further on. And actually, Gary had written about a previous one of these Creating Change seminars in Michigan. But
I remember, Pete, the two highlights that I remember from their past conferences was the one in which they brought in a plastic surgeon to display his wares, so to speak, and offer his services to teenage and young 20s women who suffer, the psycho-emotional delusion that they're really men, and encourage them to have their breasts cut off. And if you went to the website of this plastic surgeon, it actually encouraged young girls to do this before they started their working careers or college. So here's a guy, who knows what he makes, $10,000, $15,000 off every emotionally disturbed teenage girl he can convince to have her breast cut off before she starts college. That was one of the more bizarre ones. And, of course, two or three years ago in Detroit, Matt Foreman of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force shocked the crowd and homosexual activists around the country when he said, quote, "With 70% of the people in this country living with HIV being gay or bisexual, we cannot deny that HIV is a gay disease. We have to own up to that and face up to that," unquote. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the health implications of homosexual behavior, but this is a great example, Pete, of the phenomenon you and I witness week in and week out. If you or I characterize HIV as a quote-unquote gay disease, we're attacked and vilified by the homosexual activist groups and their allies in the media. But Matt Foreman of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force stands up, and in a fit of Honesty acknowledges that HIV is the number one cause of the spread of AIDS in the United States, and he himself characterizes it as a, quote, gay disease, unquote.
Now, so, Gary, let's back up a little bit. We are going to talk also today about the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a leftist outfit based in Alabama that demonizes pro-family groups, and they've recently gone out on a limb, and they're demonizing a whole bunch of mainstream conservative pro-family groups who happen to oppose the homosexual activist movement. And your group, American Family Association, and my group, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, have both been put on the hate list. And as I'm sure is happening to you there in Michigan, here, every once in a while I get some email from somebody saying, well, don't listen to them. They are officially certified hate group.
Well, one homosexual blog that I saw said that we were officially registered with the Southern Poverty Law Center, as if we had called up and said, "Hey, can we register with you?
Can we register as a hate group, please? Yeah, we want to be demonized by the far left."
But you know, we talked in our last segment, Pete, about here in Michigan, our TV media spokesperson in the city of Detroit is an African-American attorney. We have worked closely with African-Americans in standing up to the homosexual agenda. In fact, one of my co-plaintiffs in Glenn versus Holder, I'm lead plaintiff in a lawsuit against the Attorney General of the United States and the Obama administration in hopes of preventing them from using their federal hate crimes law to criminalize Christian expression, to make it a violation of the law as it is in Canada, for us to have this conversation on the public airways as we're about to have.
Now, hold on. Let's back up there, because you just brought up a great point. In Canada right now, if we were to have the tape of our interview sent over to be broadcast in Canada, some government censor would strip out all the parts about homosexuality. Is that an exaggeration?
No, that's correct. Family News and Focus, Dr. Dobson's show, used to not be aired in Canada because they dared talk about the subject of homosexual behavior. And I was simply mentioning that one of my co-plaintiffs in that lawsuit is an African-American pastor. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has historically tracked groups like the Ku Klux Klan, you know, which engages in, you know, despicable racism and has for over a century. And so they developed some modicum of credibility on this issue. And then within the last 2 or 3 months, they have decided to add American Family Association, Family Research Council, your organization, and several other Christian ministries, equating them with the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis, simply because we speak out against the homosexual agenda and tell the truth about the, among other things, the health implications. One of the things that...
Hold on there, Gary, before you get into it, I got it, because we're going to go into your incredible example of hate against you before we get into the health stuff. But I wanted to say one brief thing here on Americans for Truth case. It was reported by a left-wing source that Gay Liberation Network, which is a Chicago-based Marxist organization, is the one that reported Americans for Truth as a supposed hate site, which then grew into an official SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, hate group. Well, the funny thing about that is that Gay Liberation, I was once at a protest. We were sort of counter-protesting a homosexual event in Chicago. And Bob Schwartz, who's one of the leaders of the Gay Liberation Network, told me, you know, he saw the cops standing by because the cops had to protect us, of course, because of the intolerance of the homosexual movement. And he said, if it weren't for your friends over there — this is Bob Schwartz of the Gay Liberation Network — he says to me, if it weren't for your friends over there, I'd push into the street. So here's a homosexual activist making a violence-oriented remark, a threat against a pro-family person. If I had said the same thing to a homosexual activist and he reported it to the police, I might have been brought up on a hate crime.
Well, sure, and we're going to discuss some more examples like that, but let's just summarize by saying that you don't run into many people more hateful than the love and tolerance crowd on this homosexual issue. Not only verbally, and we're going to give some examples, but just as you mentioned right there, the threat to your faith. I have, on two different occasions, Pete, there have been homosexual activists websites, one in Detroit and one in the Midwest, I think it was in Nebraska, that specifically called on me to be executed or assassinated.
This is a public call on a website Glenn to be assassinated?
Yeah. In fact, the one in Detroit called for three people to be assassinated, and this was several years ago. One was President George W. Bush, the other was Michigan Governor John Engler, and the third was Gary Glenn of the American Family Association of Michigan. And then they had a list of all the crimes against humanity, and my list was longer than Governor Engler's or President Bush's.
Hey, way to go, man.
This was a homosexual activist website that had a hammer and sickle symbol, the symbol of the old Soviet Union on it. And because the president was involved, I called the Secret Service. And because the governor was involved, I called the state police. And a state police detective called me and said, well, Mr. Glenn, he said, the president has the Secret Service to protect him, and the governor has the state police. We recommend that you alternate the ways you go to work every day.
Oh, boy.
But they did go find the guy and take the website down, as they did the website in Nebraska, which had an individual listed in each of the 50 states that this homosexual activist was calling for to be executed, to be slain for opposing, quote-unquote, rights for people involved in the homosexual lifestyle. And in the state of Michigan, it listed me, Gary Glenn, American Family Association of Michigan, as the person who should be executed.
And here in Americans for Truth, we had a guy, a homosexual activist, say, snipers take note, and put our office address, turned out to be my home address, with the message, snipers take note. And he was, we got the cops on him, and he was given a warning. We're talking to Gary Glenn, a founder of the American Family Association of Michigan, longtime conservative pro-family activist. His website is afamichigan.org, afamichigan.org. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everybody. This is Pete LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to Gary Glenn, who's a modern American hero in my book, and I don't say that lightly. Gary does tremendous work. And a lot of people have learned from Gary across the nation, and I encourage you, if you're hearing this for the first time, tell your friends about it. We have a four-part interview. Gary's also going to be speaking at Future Americans for Truth Academies. He's been too busy doing good work to catch the ones that we've had. Well, we got one coming up in Columbus, April 1st and 2nd. I should mention that also. Columbus, April 1st and 2nd. We have a Truth Academy in concert with Mission America, my friend Linda Harvey, who also does yeoman's work for the cause. That's April 1st and 2nd in Columbus. Location to be announced, because we don't want to be overly disrupted by the homosexual activists who protest us every time. You can get information about that at the Americans for Truth website at AFTA.org or AmericansForTruth.org. AmericansForTruth.org. Just click the Americans for Truth Academy button on the right side. Now, Gary, you had another incident, another hate incident, where a couple of Republican or just political consultants on a podcast actually condoned violence, or at least one guy condoned violence against you. Set this clip up that we're going to hear in a moment.
Well, one of them's a Republican and one of them is a Democrat political consultant out of Detroit. In the last several election cycles, the political action committee that I chair, called Campaign for Michigan Families, has run radio ads and robocalls in various legislative races, and that involved openly homosexual candidates. And so, for example, we will quote the homosexual publications and homosexual organizations and PACs. We'll simply quote what they say about these legislative candidates. Like, they'll be boasting that if so-and-so is elected, he'll be the first openly, you know, gay or lesbian legislator in the Michigan House of Representatives, et cetera, et cetera. And the media, the homosexual activist groups, always go ballistic, and all we've done is quote what they themselves have said about this candidate. So we ran robocalls in one legislative district in suburban Detroit, in which the Republican candidate was openly homosexual, was endorsed by the homosexual newspaper in Detroit, the various homosexual activist groups, and if he had been elected, would have become the Republican poster boy for every piece of homosexual-related legislation in Lansing. And he ended up losing. The Republicans took control of the Michigan House of Representatives, almost two-thirds control, but this one particular Republican was not elected. And so in response to our robocalls, which were strictly issue-oriented and did nothing but quote what the homosexual press and activist groups themselves said about this candidate, these two political consultants, one of whom I think was the consultant to this Republican candidate, went on the air and had some nice things to say about.
Okay, now it's Mo and Joe, and who are these guys?
Well, they're just two guys named Joe, Joe Munim, Joe DeSalvo. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. Frankly, I'd never heard of them. But
do you remember which Joe is the one who said the violence condoning remark?
I believe it's Joe DeSalvo, the Democrat consultant, which
okay.
You know, wouldn't be surprising.
It wouldn't be surprising. Okay, no. let's play the clip.
Lastly, more gay bashing going on from Gary Glynn from the, was it Michigan Families? What the hell?
You know what? I don't even know the name of his organization. I pay so little attention to this clown.
Yeah, well.
He's doing Democrats' dirty work, so God bless him.
Yes, yeah, he's going after Republican, openly gay Republican running for state representative in Royal Oak in the seat held by Marie Donegan. No. This is an openly gay Republican who's not really running on any gay rights agenda at all. He's running exclusively on the economy. And he came out with an email today viciously attacking this individual, mainly for being gay.
Yeah, the email and a robocall.
So one has to ask themselves, if and when Gary Glynn is going to wind up being on the news because he was caught with some sort of male prostitute.
It's just a matter of time. It's
isn't
just
that what happens to every one of these guys who are so obsessed with gays?
Some investigative TV reporter is going to be following Gary Glynn on the mean streets of Midland. Cruising for a young college tail, and you know, there'll be the expose, and you know, he'll deny it, then he'll resign in disgrace. But you know, I'm no fan of gay bashing, but at least I actually kind of sympathetic with Ken Rosen, because I wrote mail against him this cycle, tying him to every right wing organization in the world, and then he's getting it from the other side. So I'm almost sympathetic to the guy.
I'd almost be sympathetic to Gary Glynn if he was campaigning against somebody because their campaign was based upon gay rights. Okay, fine. You're against gay rights. I think that in this country you have a right to go and campaign against that. And if there's a candidate who says, yes, I'm for gay marriage, I'm for that, then...
But this isn't a Republican who just happens to be gay.
He's not campaigning for any of this.
No, he just happens to be a conservative who likes other guys. I mean, it don't make you a bad person.
Yeah, and he's not campaigning on any of these issues.
Right. This is not part of his agenda.
So in the world that Gary Glynn lives in, just the mere fact that somebody is gay excludes them from any public service whatsoever. I don't think most Republicans actually are willing to go that far.
I'll tell you what, after what he did to Rosen today and jeopardized their House majority over something like this, I would hope that the Republicans would go over to Midland where he lives, take a whole bunch of quarters and a sock, and beat the living hell out of this guy.
I'm sure they're all waiting for when the inevitable finally occurs.
The inevitable. Yeah, the expose at a truck stop.
Wow. Wow, Gary, that is unbelievable.
Well, Pete, I mean, I frankly think it's kind of amusing, but the hypocrisy of the news media is an angle of this that I think we ought to discuss. Imagine if I had said in my robocall about this openly homosexual candidate that someone ought to take a sock full of quarters over to his house and beat the heck out of him. I mean, it'd lead the national news.
You'd be in jail right now.
Maybe I'd be in jail right now for having said in a public forum, you know, that somebody ought to take a sock full of quarters and beat up an openly homosexual candidate for the legislature. We sent that around to the news media here in Michigan, pointed that out. We said we simply asked that you treat it the same way you'd treat it if I had said that about some homosexual activist or candidate. And, of course, what we heard was crickets. So the bias of the news media is one of the things that's evident in the fact that this did not get covered other than here by your show today.
Yeah, and Gary, you know, there's just so much in there which is offensive, you know, and this idea, oh, he happens to be a conservative who likes other guys. You know, obviously you knew this candidate was going to be promoting the homosexual activist agenda.
Well, of course, and because he would have been the only Republican openly homosexual member of the legislature, the news media would have made him the Republican poster boy, you know, the solitary Republican sponsor of every piece of homosexual-related legislation that came up in Lansing, and they'd use that to undercut Republican opposition. One of those Joes made reference to the fact that we were putting at risk the chances of the Republicans taking control of the Michigan House. In fact, the Republicans control it now, I think, something like 65 to 45. So the Republicans did just fine that day, thank you, Joe, but the openly homosexual Republican did not. And there was another openly homosexual Democratic legislative candidate who got, I think, 37% of the vote after we did a robocall in her legislative district. But this is just an indication, and there are others, of how, you know, it's entirely okay. You know, you talked about the homosexual activist who talked about snipers, be on the alert, here's where Pete LaBarbera lives. Here's a guy who says in a public broadcast, take a sock full of quarters and beat the whatever out of me. How does that go down in this recent climate in which Sarah Palin was being attacked for talking about crosshairs,
right,
or you know, the typical jargon that's used in political contests about, you know, defeating the enemy and being on the front lines of the struggle and
tolerance for me and not for thee, right?
Yeah,
Gary? I mean,
yeah.
It's just the worst extreme extrapolation of their basic storyline, which is that we hate and that the climate of hate. You know, I mean, that's their whole game. You know, you can't disagree with homosexuality. Well, not all homosexual activists say this, but of course the loudest ones and the ones like groups like GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, which we just monitored. You know, this whole narrative is always that if you oppose them, especially if you oppose their agenda from a principled basis like we do, that you hate them.
Well, and none of the homosexual activist groups that I remember have condemned these two Joes for, quote-unquote, creating an environment in which someone might be led to believe that it was okay to actually take a sock full of quarters over to Gary Glenn's house and attack him, as, you know, they talked about with the shooting out in Arizona.
Right.
I mean, that's an age-old tactic of the left, and if they didn't think of it themselves, they got it from the homosexual activist groups. Let me give you an earlier example. In 2007, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force put out a news release condemning the alleged beating death of a 72-year-old man in Detroit. The early news coverage of this claimed that this man had been beat over the head with a pipe by an African-American man who used a gay slur as he was beating him over the head. That was the initial news reports. Senator Carl Levin of Michigan went on the floor of the United States Senate and pointed to this alleged, you know, gay bashing as justification for the United States Senate's passage of Obama's federal hate crimes legislation. Now, to fully appreciate the richness of this, you need to know that the Detroit police found no evidence of any assault whatsoever, and the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office said that the older gentleman had died from arthritic paralysis of his neck, causing him to fall over and hit his head. But the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force put out this news release, quote, "For years, Michigan has been subjected..." It sounds like with the music going,
let's save that. We got 20 secons, Gary.
Okay.
And I also want to hear about how the Triangle Foundation accused you of wanting to kill homosexuals. I'm very curious about all these exaggerations, which, of course, the media don't expose. It's up to us to expose them because the media gives these guys a pass every single time. I'm Pete LaBarbera talking with Gary Glenn of the American Family Association of Michigan. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to my interview with Gary Glenn, who's a friend and he's a great pro-family activist. His website is afamichigan.org, afamichigan.org. You can hear the first two parts of this interview. It will be a total of four parts at AmericansForTruth.org. Go to the Truth Hour, Americans for Truth Hour website on the right side. And Gary, let's get back to this. You're setting up the comment by the press release by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
Yeah, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, in response to the alleged beating death of a 72-year-old man in Detroit who was involved in the homosexual lifestyle, which was found by the police to have involved no beating and arthritic paralysis by the medical examiner's office. Anyway, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force put out a news release nationwide that said this: "For years, Michigan has been subjected to the homophobic rants of Gary Glenn of the American Family Association of Michigan. Just 2 years ago, the state endured an ugly campaign led by Cardinal Adam Mida to protect marriage by writing anti-gay discrimination into the state constitution. It is appalling hypocrisy for these forces to pretend that their venomous words and organizing have no connection to the plague of hate violence against gay people, including the murder of Mr. Anthos," quote unquote. So simply by saying that we believe marriage should be between a man and a woman, or saying that medical research finds that individuals who engage in homosexual behavior will die from 7 to 20 years younger than the general population, quoting Oxford University's International Journal of Epidemiology, homosexual activists characterize just simply talking about the reasons we should oppose their political agenda as, quote-unquote, not only hate, but inspiring a climate in which someone might be inspired by that opposition to act out violently. You heard it all played out with the shootings in Arizona. Dare say anything against the left-wing political agenda in this country, and then any time an act of violence occurs, then the person who said those things in opposition to the left's political agenda should be held responsible. And if any listener thinks that I am overblown in how I am characterizing that, let me quote from the Saginaw News, Saginaw, Michigan, from an interview they did with Jeff Montgomery, the former executive director of the Triangle Foundation, which was the leading homosexual activist group here in Michigan. Quote, "Jeff Montgomery is calling out the political extremists and religious fundamentalists whose rhetoric, he says, has fueled a steady rise in hate crimes against gays and lesbians. We've seen an increase in vitriolic, vociferous, vehement, demonizing rhetoric against gays and lesbians," said Montgomery. And now a direct quote from Montgomery: "The vocal anti-gay activists should be held accountable as accessories to these crimes, because many times it is their rhetoric that led the perpetrators to believe that their crimes are okay. If a criminal borrows a gun and uses it to kill someone, the law considers the gun owner an accessory to the crime. So too are the people who own the words that incite violence," unquote, Montgomery said, according to the Saginaw News, April 27, 2005. Pete, I couldn't make it any clearer than Jeff Montgomery made in that quote. Their intent, using federal and state and local hate crimes legislation, is to, in Montgomery's words, treat us as accessories to these crimes because of our expression of our First Amendment free speech rights.
Right, and they want to get they want to keep certain facts and viewpoints. Ultimately, they want to get those off the airwaves. And Gary, let's talk about some of the things.
Well, and then the other one that you asked me to say specifically, another staff member of the Triangle Foundation told the Michigan State University newspaper, so I'm quoting from that newspaper, the State News in East Lansing, quoting Sean Kosofsky, the director of policy for the Triangle Foundation, quote, "We personally believe that the AFA may support the murder of gay, lesbian, and bisexual people," unquote. Now, Pete, if they claim that saying less than supportive things about their political agenda might encourage somebody to violence, what more hateful could you say about someone than to accuse them of being guilty of having incited the murder of some innocent party?
Right.
And yet they feel entirely free to say those kinds of things in public. As one of the Joes said, take a sock full of quarters and go beat the whatever out of Gary Glenn. They obviously feel entirely free, without fear of criticism from the news media, to use obviously violent rhetoric in our direction, and yet get up on the high horse and object to anybody even daring say something as simple as marriage ought to be between a man and a woman, and claiming that that might incite somebody to violent action.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is grand, and obviously they know that they're not going to be called on it by the media. That's why it goes on. And if we just had fair coverage, balanced coverage, something approximating equanimity from the media, equal focus on both sides, or at least holding these guys accountable, this sort of thing wouldn't happen. But they obviously know nothing's going to happen about it. Now, I do believe they want to keep they ultimately want to drive all our talking points, all our the issues that we want to bring up out of the media. That's their goal, and that's GLAAD's goal. It's classic propaganda. You downplay the negative. You eliminate negative discussion or critical discussion about the homosexual agenda, and you expand sort of the propaganda of the gay movement, so-called gay movement, the glamorizing of homosexuality. So let's talk about what you had a very interesting point about the Southern Poverty Law Center. You said they've actually done a disservice to the homosexual cause. Explain that. You think what the SPLC has done, labeling our groups a hate groups, how we can use that to talk about the public health hazard and just the unhealthy factors of homosexuality.
Well, one of the reasons that the Southern Poverty Law Center said that it characterized Family Research Council and American Family Association and your organization as being quote-unquote hate groups was because we talk about the medical consequences of homosexual behavior, which the SPLC claims we mischaracterize. And yet the SPLC has obviously missed some other organizations that on that basis it ought to add to its hate group list, like the New York Times, or the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, or, of course, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or, for example, the Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition, which is an openly homosexual, medically-related group, activist group in Canada, and remarkably filed a complaint with the federal government in Canada alleging bias in the provision of medical services to people involved in the homosexual lifestyle, and listed all the various reasons that people involved in homosexual behavior need to have access to medical treatment. Let me read what this Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition said. Quote, the report, they actually filed a formal report with the federal government. Quote, the report's list of health issues affecting queer Canadians, that's using their word, their characterization, includes lower life expectancy than the average Canadian, suicide, higher rates of substance abuse, depression, inadequate access to care, and HIV/AIDS. There are all kinds of health issues that are endemic to the homosexual community, said Executive Director of the Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition, Jens Hellquist. And this is quoting Mr. Hellquist. We have higher rates of anal cancer in the gay male community. Lesbians have higher rates of breast cancer. The reality is there is more gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people in this country who die of suicide each year than die from AIDS. There are more who die early deaths from substance abuse than die of HIV/AIDS, unquote. So should the Southern Poverty Law Center add the Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition to its list of quote-unquote hate groups? Because that homosexual group attests to the fact that homosexual behavior is related to dramatically elevated incidences of AIDS, cancer, hepatitis, substance abuse, eating disorders, depression, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the American Medical Association quoted that individuals involved in the homosexual lifestyle are dramatically higher risk of bipolar disorders and other mental illnesses. This Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition addresses life expectancy, suicide, smoking, alcohol use, illicit drug use, depression, HIV, AIDS, and cancer, and openly attest to the fact that individuals who choose to engage in that behavior are at dramatically elevated risks of those serious, life-threatening, and also very expensive diseases.
Let me read one from the CDC, Gary. While CDC estimates, Centers for Disease Control, which is a federal agency, while CDC estimates that MSM, which would be men who have sex with men, account for just 4% of the U.S. male population ages 13 and older, the rate of new HIV diagnosis among MSM in the United States is more than 44 times that of other men. 44 times. And this is a report by the CDC, a CDC fact sheet that was issued last September. Just a number of risk factors that continue to be reported, Gary, and yet the media doesn't really report on these, as they never link it to the actual lifestyle. It's always sort of a... It's funny how it's reported. You know, it's not funny at all. They don't draw it to the behavior.
Well, as I have said often in discussions or debates that I've had with homosexual activist groups, if there is an elevated risk of anal cancer among men who engage in homosexual behavior, that's not caused by what somebody down the street may say from their pulpit. It's caused by the behavior. And, for example, the Southern Poverty Law Center has also missed the Red Cross. Maybe the Red Cross is a quote-unquote hate group because they won't allow openly homosexual men to donate blood because of the dramatically higher incidence of HIV and hepatitis found in the blood of men who are engaged in that behavior. Here's what the Canadian...
30 seconds, Gary.
Okay, well, I'll save it. I was going to read you one more quote from the Canadian Health Coalition.
Let me just read the FDA one. It says FDA one says that gay men who have sex with men have an HIV prevalence 60 times higher than the general population, 800 times higher than first-time blood donors, and 8,000 times higher than repeat blood donors. So we're talking about a massively escalated health risk among men who have sex with men, of course linked to the behavior, which we oppose. We don't hate the people. We do oppose the behavior. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm talking to my friend Gary Glenn, who's a great pro-family activist. He's the head of the American Family Association of Michigan. Their website is afamichigan.org. And Gary, you have for years tried to get some focus back on the risks, the public health risks, the health risk to the individual people practicing this lifestyle in talking about the homosexual issue. And I think you wisely said that homosexuality is all about behavior. We don't believe in an intrinsic identity. We know homosexuals can change. That's proven by the many thousands of people who've left the lifestyle. We are concerned about the promotion of this behavior as normative.
Well, and Pete, from the standpoint of what is authentic Christian care and compassion, you know, which side of this argument is exhibiting true compassion for people who might be tempted to involve themselves in this type of behavior? The ones who whitewash it, who tell them it's normal and healthy, that there's no reason whatsoever they shouldn't not only engage in the behavior but identify themselves on the basis of choosing, you know, their very identity based on their choice of involving themselves in this type of behavior, or the side that issues a warning. If you see someone you love about to engage in some type of behavior that's going to be self-destructive, if you truly love them, if you truly have Christian compassion, you warn them. For example, the Oxford University's International Journal of Epidemiology, which last time I checked is not a journal or publication of the American Family Association, quote said, in a major Canadian center, life expectancy at age 20 years for gay and bisexual men is 8 to 20 years less than for all men. If the same manner of mortality were to continue, we estimate that nearly half of gay and bisexual men currently aged 20 will not reach their 65th birthday. Gay and bisexual men in this urban center are now experiencing a life expectancy similar to that experienced by all men in Canada in the year 1871, unquote. Talk about rolling back the clock in terms of public health consequences. And this, you know, this study points out, I think, a great observation, and that is the American Journal of Medicine says that if you smoke tobacco, you'll run the risk of losing an average of 7 years off your life compared to Americans who don't smoke. What is the rational response from public policymakers to that kind of medical finding? Our policymakers spend hundreds of millions of dollars not only to pass laws that someone might actually characterize as being discriminatory against smokers, but to try and encourage people to stop smoking and especially encourage young people never to start, because if you smoke tobacco, they say you'll lose 7 years off your life. And yet here the Oxford University International Journal of Epidemiology says if you're a college-age man who engages in homosexual behavior, you'll lose 8 to 20 years off your life, up to three times as many years of life at risk as smoking tobacco. What is the response of public policymakers to this type of medical research? It's not rational, it's irrational, as people at the state and federal and local level contemplate laws to give special protection and quote-unquote rights on the basis of engaging in homosexual behavior. Now, homosexual activists, when you quote the Oxford study, will say, well, the people who did that research, they say you're mischaracterizing their study. All I did was read directly from the conclusion. But here again is what the Canadian Rainbow Health Coalition said on the exact same issue. Quote, what research exists consistently indicates that the life expectancy of gay, lesbian, bisexual people is substantially lower than that of the general population. It has been estimated that gay bisexual men have a life expectancy 20 years less than the average man in Canada. In their book, Caring for Lesbian and Gay People, A Clinical Guide, authors Dr. Alan Peterkin and Dr. Kathy Risden suggest that the life expectancy of gay bisexual men in Canada is 55 years. Less research has been conducted on the life expectancy for lesbians in Canada, but health indicators suggest that while it is not as low as that for gay men, it is still lower than the life expectancy of the general population, unquote. That's a homosexual activist group saying that. And
that's amazing.
Just as with Matt Forman, when he says that AIDS is a quote-unquote gay disease, it causes shockwaves among homosexual activists. But if you and I say the exact same things, then it's quote-unquote hate. And I hope, if nothing else, we can just expose this for the farce that it is.
Yeah, if it were any other behavior, there would be an all-court press on controlling that behavior. And yet, even when you look at the CDC, they're so politically correct, Gary. They have a whole fact sheet here filled with evidence of the health risks of homosexual behavior. And yet they say, you know, one of the ways to reduce your risk is to use a condom every time you have anal, vaginal, or oral sex. You know, just, you know, like having anal sex is just a regular thing, you know. And there is such a pressure in the liberal establishment and within government and politically correct elite institutions to say anything negative about practicing sodomy. Sodomy is dangerous. Anal sodomy is dangerous, but they don't want to say that.
Well, Pete, you read the FDA statistical findings about the prevalence of HIV in the blood of individuals who engage in homosexual behavior, and contemplate those findings in this context. Battlefield blood transfusions, where men are involved in battle and their only source of blood may be the soldier next to them. And the United States Congress, the lame duck Democrats and 8 Republican senators who had just been rejected by voters last November after the election, nonetheless forced onto our United States military that additional risk of infection on the battlefield from battlefield blood transfusions because of the dramatically elevated presence of HIV and hepatitis in the blood of individuals who engage in homosexual behavior. Again, back to our point, I'm not sure how the Southern Poverty Law Center missed the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association, which put out a list that's called the top 10 things that it's called For Your Health, 10 Things Gay Men Need to Know. And the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association talks about the increased risk of HIV, AIDS, substance abuse, depression, hepatitis, sexually transmitted diseases, prostate, testicular, and colon cancer, alcohol abuse, tobacco abuse, the need for diet and exercise, and anal papilloma virus. All of that significantly elevated risk factors for individuals who engage in homosexual behavior.
Yeah.
Why didn't the Southern Poverty Law Center call the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association a quote-unquote hate group for admitting, in a fit of honesty, the dramatic health consequences, negative health consequences, both privately and personally, private health and personal health, associated with the decision to engage in this type of behavior? As long as we truly love and have compassion for our fellow man, Pete, we will not be silent in warning against not only the medical, but the spiritual consequences of deciding to engage in behavior that's obviously a violation of God's laws for sexual morality and the lives that we ought to be living here on earth.
Absolutely. And, of course, that's where we really come down. I mean, you know, we don't want people to have an eternal separation from God when they go on after this life. We have one life to live. And if we're honest, that's what we have to tell practicing homosexuals. It's not just homosexuals. There's a whole bunch of sins, but you don't get a pass for this particular sin. And Gary, you know, we could go on and on with these warnings. It's just shocking to see what is ignored in this debate. If a homosexual says it, it's okay. If Gary Glenn says it, it's hate speech. And of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center is hardly an objective source. 20 seconds to give us your final take on this, and then we go to the next part next week.
Well, Pete, it's always a privilege being with you. I salute you for your work, and a lot of the stuff we've talked about can be found on our website at afamichigan.org, and we solicit your listeners' prayers. Keep us in your prayers as we continue, Pete and I both, to stand on the front lines of this cultural struggle. We're going to continue to tell the truth no matter what homosexual activists and their political allies label our doing so.
And I commend you for that. Give a donation to Gary Glenn at afamichigan.org, afamichigan.org. You can help us at americansfortruth.com. That's americansfortruth.com. Gary, we'll talk to you next week, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more interesting things to discuss.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.